Thanks for tuning into the Central Church Podcast. We exist to introduce people to Jesus and help them follow him. To learn more about Central, access tons of content, and find the location nearest you, download our Central Church app. But for now, we hope you enjoy this message, and we're so glad you could join us today.
You guys, good to see you today. Glad that you're here. How many of you wouldn't mind having a little more joy in your life? You down with that? I'm down for some more. Even if you've got joy, I could always use a little more. And so we've been in this teaching series called Good News. And today I want to talk to you about the good news of joy. The good news of joy. I was thinking back this week to when you potty train anything, whether it's a little puppy or a pet or a kid, you celebrate every victory big. Come on, parents, you know what I'm talking about. Every victory is a big deal. Your kid goes potty in the potty, it's like, oh my gosh, you did it, you did it. You went potty in the potty. Like every other kid on the planet, right? But you celebrate it like it's the only time. I did that with my little dog, Roxy. She would come in the house back when she was a puppy. She'd go out and go out outside. And if she came in after going out outside, I mean, I'm dancing around. And I'm like, you want a treat? You want a treat? Girls that go outside, get treats. Come here. You know, I give her a big treat, celebrate. She didn't know what was happening. She just thought she was the coolest animal on earth. And that's what happened. Eventually, she realized, when you go outside and go to the bathroom, this is what dad does. And there's food connected. When Emma, our firstborn, was little, I mean, every little thing was like such a big deal, right? I remember when she crawled, it's like, she's crawling. And we're like, oh, you're amazing. You're crawling. Like every kid that's ever been alive has crawled. But you wouldn't know it, right, when it's your kid. And then the first time they stand, you're standing. And then they take the first step. I can still remember where Emma took her very first step. We were living in Southern California. In fact, a few years ago, I was driving back through that area, and I thought, I'm going to drive past that old house. And it was for sale, and they were having an open house. So I went in with a camera and filmed the island. It looked exactly the same, just stock track home. You know, kitchen island, and I'm like, Emma, this is where you took your first steps. Amazing. Of course, every parent will tell you that's exciting for your first child right out of the gate, but you know, 3 or 4 weeks later, you're like, what just happened to our life? Man, after that, Emma was all over the place, running here, running there. Man, you couldn't keep up with her. And she used to ride peacefully in her stroller. And now she was always trying to get out of the stroller. And what she used to say, me do. She wanted to push that stroller. She couldn't form a sentence, but she could walk. She's too big to ride in that stroller. We celebrate it because we know that if we celebrate it, as the old quote says, what gets celebrated gets replicated, right? We know that if we celebrate it, it will reinforce that behavior in their lives. And I want you to think about that from a spiritual standpoint, because what gets celebrated in our lives spiritually gets elevated, and what gets elevated gets influence. And if you want more joy in your spiritual life and just in your life in general, Paul's going to challenge us in Romans 5 to consider what we celebrate and what we elevate, because that's what begins to have influence in our lives. Now, we've been working through the book of Romans in this teaching series, Good News, How Grace Changes Everything. And we looked in chapter 1 at how Paul sort of lays out the bad news so that we can see how good the good news is. And then a couple weeks ago, we looked at chapter 2, which challenged us to be kind and loving towards others and to realize life change is possible for everyone. Last week, Pastor Nick gave a great message looking at chapter 3 and the distinction between faith and works. It was so good. Check that out if you missed it. This week, I want to jump ahead to Romans chapter 5, and Paul's going to dive in here and give us some things that we can celebrate in our life that will help us experience more joy. So check this out. Romans 5:1, when we get to the red word, say this out loud, real loud here with me. Paul says, therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have what? Peace. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. We have peace with God. Now, this isn't like a feeling of peace he's talking about, right? It's not like you walk around like, man, I just got peace, man. I don't know. Golden Knights lost, but I got peace. You know, like, I'm good. I just got the good vibes, the peace. This isn't a feeling. What Paul's actually talking about is bigger than feelings. He's talking about a spiritual reality that has occurred on your benefit and for my benefit, that we now have peace with God. Whether you're feeling peace right now or not, we're good with God because of what God did for us in Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. And commentators will point out that Paul's about to make a shift in Romans chapter 5. He's been talking about faith a lot in the first four chapters. More than a couple dozen times, he said the word faith, 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 the power of faith. If you've been here the last few weeks, we've talked about the power of faith in our life and the, you know, the transforming effect it can have. But here's what I want you to realize. In chapters 5 through chapter 8, he only mentions faith a couple of times. He's shifting. And now the predominant word is life. Life shows up more than a couple dozen times in the next couple chapters. So here's kind of what Paul's doing. He's laid out the foundations of our faith, and now he's going to turn the corner and start showing the outworkings of that faith. And one of the first things you see is the word joy and rejoicing showing up again and again and again. Because when you understand how good the good news is, it leads to joy in your life. When you celebrate God's good news in your life, when you elevate it, when you give it influence in your life, it will lead to rejoicing. So he gives a lot of affirmations in Romans chapter 5. They're kind of we statements, the way they get translated. He says, we have peace with God. He says, we stand in grace. We joyfully look forward to God's glory. We rejoice in our sufferings. We'll talk about that. We'll be saved, he says, and we will rejoice in God. And all of this is an outflow of our faith. So the first thing our faith empowers us to celebrate is peace with God, to celebrate peace with God in our lives. I remember a while back I was cleaning the garage several years ago, and I've cleaned it since then. But this one time I was cleaning it and there was this denim jacket right there kind of on the ground. I backed the cars out. I like a clean garage. You know, I feel like I'm like in a good place. I think my garage is just a picture of what's going on in my mind. So if you ever come over to my house and it's totally cluttered, crazy garage, you say, Judd, man, you might wanna see somebody. So anyway, I'm going through the garage and there's this denim jacket on the floor. I'm like, we'd just taken a whole load to Castaways to donate. And we always try to donate things, you know, and it'd been sitting in the garage for a long time. You know how that is, right? You get it from the, in our house, if you get it from the closet to the garage, that's only the first miracle. Then you got to figure out how to get it out of the garage, right, down to the place. So I see this denim jacket, and I'm like, man, we just took a whole load. Obviously, it probably should have been in that load. And I don't do this often. I'm just going to trash it. So I pick it up, trash it. Nobody will ever know. All good. Clean the floor. Everything's good. Garage is looking good. I am in a peaceful state of mind, peaceful, easy feeling. A few days later, comes time to go celebrate my anniversary. And Lori's getting ready, and I can tell she's a little frazzled. And she says, Judd, I had this denim jacket. I bought it for our anniversary. And she says, it was in the car the last time I saw it, and I can't find it anywhere. And it hits me like, I said, describe it to me. She describes it to a T. It was really sad when I had to tell her one of her kids threw that jacket away. So I confessed, you know, I owned up to it. So, you know, I thought it was old, you know, it had dirt on it. It was on the floor. You know, I just got, we were about to go out to dinner for our anniversary. It was not good. It was not pretty. She started going down the list of all the things I had thrown away over the years, cleaning out the garage. These glasses that I once had, the stuff my grandma gave me, and this fondue chocolate maker that we never used, that thing. She went down the hall. I'm like, I'm sensing some bitterness here. Anyway, I'm like, well, I'll take you to the mall. I'll buy you a new jacket. What else am I gonna do, right, guys? Like, I'll make it right, okay? You know, I'm sorry. So we go to the mall. They don't have the jacket, not in stock. I'm like, okay. So I go up to the lady at the counter, and she looks it up online, and they don't sell the jacket anymore. It's discontinued. Of course it is. So I'm like, I'll buy you any jacket you want. And she tries on several jackets and doesn't want any of them. She wants the denim jacket that I threw away. So we go out to dinner, and there's like a cloud hanging over. And I'm like, hey, you know, we had some good years in there too. You know, kids and stuff. Sorry about the jacket. And eventually, she warmed up, and she let it go, as she has had to do many things. And we were able to move on, but there was nothing I could really do in that moment to make it right. I was kind of stuck. And I think this is the point Paul's been making in the early chapters of Romans. With God, there's really nothing we can do to make it right. You can't earn it, you can't work it back, the jacket's no longer for sale. It's gone. Your opportunity has passed. But the good news is God himself made it right through his own actions. And he made us right with him. Let's go back at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Let's just read this sentence again, but I want to put the emphasis on two different words here in Romans 5, 1. He says, therefore, since we have been what?
Made right.
Made right. Turn to the person next to you and say, you've been made right. He doesn't say you're all right. He says you've been made right. Right? He didn't say you were like, oh, everything's fine. No, you were made right in God's sight by faith. In God's sight by faith. We have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Now, this word made right is a very important word. The Apostle Paul, who writes the book of Romans, uses it more than any other writer in the New Testament. And it could be, it's a legal term. It could be translated justified. Which, by the way, is an amazing television show. If you've never seen Justified, you're welcome. Lots of shooting in that, not related to Romans 5, okay? Anyway, side note. This is a legal term. It means not guilty or to be, you know, like acquitted. It comes from a Greek word. I won't try it. I'll just leave it there. But it means to be found not guilty. And it's, it's a term. Like, if you can imagine the court scenes where they're waiting for the verdict to be read. We've seen this many times, right? Famous court cases, whatever. And then they read the verdict. And if it's not guilty, the defendant's, like, so relieved. And there's tears. And sometimes there's tears on the other side and anger and frustration and all of that. This is a legal term. And it's saying God has declared us not guilty. It's not saying that we're not guilty. It's saying legally, God has declared us not guilty because of what he did for us through Jesus Christ. He paid the cost for that. In fact, the theological word is where it comes from, the word justified is this, justification, which literally means to be declared righteous. And so Romans chapter 5 is a key place where this idea of justification becomes really huge in the Bible, and you see that we are declared righteous because of what Jesus did for us. One theologian said this, justification is God satisfying himself by substituting himself. In other words, in Jesus Christ. So Jesus broke the power of sin so that sin can no longer break you. And he did that for you and me. And here's my thought for you today. If you're sitting here, and we've all had seasons, some of them often, where we don't feel like we have a lot of joy, where we're just overwhelmed by the burdens and the pressures of life. And I face that, and we all face that in our lives. But let me suggest to you, if you're in a season where it feels overwhelming and where the joy is kind of gone, I would ask you, what are you celebrating? Because what you celebrate is what you're elevating. And what you're elevating is what will influence you. And if you will go back to celebrating the fact that you have peace with God, if you'll celebrate the good news. What I love about Paul in Romans is he has one core message, and he just keeps saying it again and again and again. Jesus did it for you, therefore you don't have to do it on your own. God has intervened. He has justified you. He's made you right. You have peace with God. That's the whole message. That's the big core message. I hope you hear again and again and again and again every weekend you come to Central, because that's the core message you see in the Bible. It's the gospel. It's the good news. And there is no other gospel. There's no other good. Look, it doesn't get better than that. And so he just keeps circling it again and again and again. And if the joy is gone, step back and say, what have I been celebrating in my life recently? What have I been elevating in my life recently? Because that will influence you. Here's another thing we can celebrate to experience more joy. Celebrate God's blessing. Celebrate God's blessing. I don't know if you saw, but Disneyland is open. All right, we got some Disney people. Who are the Disney people? Let's see your hands. Across our different locations, raise your hand if you're a Disney person. Okay, you're your own breed. We love you. I'm sort of somewhere in the middle. Like, I get that Disneyland is magical when it's empty. The problem is there's always people everywhere, right? Crazy, crazy amounts of people. Years ago, we took our kids to Disneyland, and we were getting ready to go. The night before, we called a friend of ours, and this friend of ours is like Disneyland crazy, right? They live in Southern California. They live right by it. They have all the passes and memberships and all the things, and like their Instagram feed is like a big Disneyland commercial. And so they're there a lot, and so we thought, well, we'll call them, good friends. We'll get the scoop. So Lori calls this lady up, and they're talking on the phone, and she says, we just wanted to know, like, any tips you have for us, and we want to know, like, how busy you think it's going to be, you know? She goes, it's going to be busy, like, really busy. She goes, well, you know, she goes, it's going to be bad. You need to think, like, almost at capacity bad. And I'm like, that's all I heard. I'm like, oh, why did I say we would do this? And she says, but I have some good news for you. We have this membership thing that we pay for, and in it comes with some of these VIP tour guides. You get so many a year, and I think in this time is around November. They said, we're not going to be able to use our last one, and we never used it. We want to gift the VIP tour guide to you for when you come to Disneyland. I'm like, cool, that's awesome, man. VIP tour guide, okay. So I knew it was good news, but I didn't know how good the news was. All I heard was, it's going to be bad, full, people everywhere. So we drive to Southern California, and I'm grumpy the whole way. Come on, you guys know what I'm talking, because I'm just like, it's going to be lines. Like, I'm coaching myself, but that only goes so far. You know, I'm like, pull it together, Judd. You can handle just a day of torture and suffering. Like, you can just stand in line all day for little seconds of joy. You can do it. You know, it's going to be okay. So we get there, and sure enough, we walk in, and there are people everywhere. It's crazy town. And I'm like, oh, man, I knew it. She said it was going to be bad. It's bad. It's bad. And this lady walks up, and she's got this little plaid vest on. She says, my name's Sharon. I'm your VIP tour guide. I'm like, okay, great. Nice to meet you. And I said, so what does this mean? And you give us tips? And she goes, no, you don't understand. Like, we can ride every ride in the park except for maybe a couple, and you don't have to wait in line. And I was like, what? She goes, every ride. In fact, you don't have to wait for food or snacks or anything. And I said, how about this ride right here? And she's like, yeah, let's go. So we all walked, and I'm like walking behind her. I'm like, whoa, you know, there's 100 people in line. You know, they're already doing what I thought we were going to be doing, you know. And I look over at them. They start giving me dirty looks because we walk right past them. I'm like, I used to be there. I was you. Right? We go all the way up to the front, and I'd already gotten my morning coffee at Disneyland. I had this coffee in my hand. I'll never forget this. We're getting on. First of all, she walks up. She introduces herself to the guy at the roller coaster thing, and he sees her plaid vest, and I mean, it's like, whoa, I'm outranked. She comes in, and she's like, here you go. We'll just have you get on right here. And she always called me Mr. Wilhite, which, I love that. She says, Mr. Wilhite, can I hold your coffee for you during the ride? And I'm like, I love me some Disney. I hand her my coffee. No lie. We do the whole ride, and when I get off, she hands my coffee back to me. I'm like, this is how we roll. Suckers. It was amazing. All day long, every ride we wanted to ride, total access everywhere we want, food, the whole deal. I'm like, I'm never coming to Disneyland again without a VIP tour. I didn't know, I didn't understand. Then I found out how much it actually cost to just buy a VIP tour. And I'm like, yeah, we're never gonna do that. I'll be back in line, good to go. But for one day, y'all, it was amazing. And this is the point Paul's making in Romans. Like, I think a lot of times we know, like, Jesus died for our sins. Okay, that's good. And, like, I'm loved by God. That's good. I've heard some of you are like, I've heard that my whole life, or I've kind of known that my whole life. Like, I know that's good news. The gospel means good news. That's good news. Great. But I don't think we really get it. I think we're still like me. When I heard I had a tour guide and I'm driving across the desert all grumpy to get to Southern California, the good news didn't impact my life. The good news hadn't really sunk into my heart. Like, I didn't realize how good the good news was till she held my coffee. And then I'm like, that's some good news, right? And this is the point Paul's trying to make again and again. The good news is better than we can even fathom or understand. Look at this. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 2. He says, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege. We have undeserved privilege. Look at this. Where we now what? Stand. And so, because we stand there, we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. He's saying, this is such good news. We have this undeserved privilege where we now stand. Now, this whole idea that Christ has brought us into this place. Okay, so what the language is trying to get at is that Jesus has access to places we can't get on our own. Jesus gives us the access. Just like Sharon gave us access to places we could never get on our own at Disneyland, Jesus does this with God. In fact, it's more than just access into his presence. Where we now stand, it's literally the idea of introducing us into places we could never get on our own. It's sort of like if you can imagine a royal palace and we're brought in, if you will, by Jesus. We would never even be, it's not like he just has access. He's got to introduce and open the door and make it all happen. And now we have access to the king. We're in this place of undeserved privilege. So that means you may feel like you're just barely squeaking by with God. You may feel like you got to keep your head down so that no one sees you or calls you out on stuff going on in your life. You may feel like you don't belong or that you don't have access to God's attention or interest or blessing. But listen, we just read it together. When you put your faith in Christ, he brings you in. He opens the door. He makes the introduction. And then you stand in the undeserved privilege of being one of his people. You stand in his favor. You stand in his love. You stand in his blessing. You stand in his approval. You stand in his wisdom. You stand in his partnership. You stand in his power. You stand in his honor. You stand in his goodness because you stand in his grace. Trust me, no matter how good we think the good news is, I think what Paul's implying is it's better. It's better than you could imagine. So no matter how many times you fall short or how many times you burn out or bail out or cop out, you will never be shut out. Even when you fall, you are still standing in the presence of God's grace. You are standing in the path of his blessing. We can celebrate the blessing of God's presence in our lives every single day. Third thing we can celebrate from Romans 5 is we can celebrate our hope. Celebrate our hope. Check this out. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 3. Let's bring this up on the side screen. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 3. He says, help me on the red word. He says, we can what? Rejoice. There it is again. Joy, joyful. We can rejoice. We can rejoice. He says it again and again. It's the outworking of our faith. We can rejoice too. Now look at this. When we run into problems and trials. What? For we know, he says, that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. So there's a whole progression that Paul does here, and let's walk through it. He says, first of all, you know, we face sufferings, or he says in the New Living Translation, problems or trials. A lot of translations translate that word suffering because it's a pretty intense word. Like, we go through some hard things, and some of you have been through a really hard year. You've been through suffering in your own life. But Paul says, even in suffering, we can rejoice and find joy because it leads to endurance. Like, if it wasn't hard, it wouldn't be difficult to push through it, right? So suffering produces endurance, and then endurance produces, look at this, character. Endurance produces character in our lives, and that character, I mean, you could actually make an argument that what defines character is that it has been tested. That, like, untested character is really nothing at all, but character, when it's been tested and stood the test, that's character. Endurance produces character, and then that character, it ensures our hope. It gives us a greater foundation for our hope. So Paul says, we can rejoice because all of these things work together to allow us to be more hope-filled, joyful people. Sometimes it's the sufferings that burn away the impurities in our lives. Sometimes it's the difficulties we have to endure that change how we see ourselves and how we see others. Sometimes it's all this junk we go through, and we can emerge humble and people that are grateful and people that are actually filled with joy even though life isn't easy. Paul is saying there's a progression here, and ultimately, we celebrate our hope. In fact, let me show you this slide, because a lot of commentators will say that in these verses, there's this tension that you see in the Bible, and you see it playing out in Romans 5 and other places. The tension between the already and the not yet. And like a map says, you're here. We're somewhere between the already and the not yet. We're already saints, the Bible says, but we're not yet perfect, right? Your spouse could square that up. You know, we're already, like, holy before God, but we're not yet fully holy. We're in process. We're already forgiven and restored, but we still are not yet. Like, we still have junk we're working out in our life. So there's all these already not yet things, and we see it play out. And with our hope, sometimes we can get so focused on what's not yet that we forget what is already. I mean, sometimes we look around and we're like, man, do I live in a world that is fair and equitable for everybody? Not yet, right? Do I live in a world that I no longer self-sabotage myself? Not yet. Do I live in a world where I don't struggle with sin and temptation and stuff in my life? Not yet. Do I live in a world where there's no racism or tribalism? Not yet. Do I live in a world that's at peace? Hello. Not yet. Do I live in a world that has peace? Not yet. That's the not yet. And there is a tension because that's the world we often face, but we've got to remember. See, that's the world you get from the news. But when you turn to the Bible, you also read there's a whole lot of already. And the already is this. When you look forward to what God will do, rather than fixating on what he has not yet done, you will find reason to celebrate. See, what we fixate on is the already. God has forgiven me through faith in Jesus already. God has given me a new life and a new future already. God has sent his Spirit to fill me already. God's given me a new name and a new identity already. He's written my name in the book of life already. God is with me and he's promised to never leave me already. God is planning a great future for me and he's guiding me, he's strengthening me. He's working in my future. He's working in my family. He's promised to provide for me. He's given me a new hope and a new future. He is good. He's faithful. He hears my prayers. He's in control. He loves me with this unconditional, never-ending, unchanging love in Jesus Christ already. Look, the battle's already been won. The victory is already on the way. He's already making all things new. You have new life in Christ, and one day you will see it for all that it is. But for now, that greater life, that life that you have promised, that life that you only believe might be possible. For now, it may not yet be there, but God has already done so much. Don't get stuck in the not yet. Focus on the already and look forward to the not yet. And when you celebrate what God has already done in your life, this is what I think Paul's trying to communicate to us. The end result becomes joy. That's what we all want. We all want joy. You want joy? Celebrate. Celebrate peace with God. Celebrate the blessing of God, of being in his presence. Celebrate the hope that God instills in our heart. In fact, when it comes to celebrating, let me just share three quick thoughts with you. If I'm going to celebrate somebody, like at a birthday or an anniversary, there's a couple things I do. One, I have to pause intentionally. We have to make time to do it, right? You go to a birthday dinner, you have an anniversary party, you have a celebration. You got to be intentional about making time to celebrate. And spiritually, if you want more joy in your life, I want to encourage you to pause intentionally throughout the day and just make the time to have a little moment of celebration for what God has done. Because listen, what gets celebrated gets elevated. What gets elevated gets influence in your life. Here's another thought. Express gratitude. Express gratitude. Every time, like at a birthday in my family, we'll sit everybody around the table. We all go around the table and verbally express what we love about that person. You know, my kids kind of hate it, but we make them do it. We have to verbally, we're verbally expressing gratitude to that person. And imagine this with God. I saw this Instagram photo this week, a friend of mine. It was beautiful. Her 80-year-old mom was in the backyard and had put on some worship music. She didn't think anybody was looking. And her 80-year-old mom is standing up, like the landscape lights are like reflecting off of her, both hands in the air, worshiping. And her daughter snapped a photo. And since, you know, 80-year-old mom isn't on social media, she put it out on social media and she's like, this is my mom thinking nobody's watching, alone in the backyard, at 80 years old, both hands in the air, worshiping God. I promise you, that picture tells me all I need to know. She may have gone through suffering, difficulty, endurance, character, but I promise you she has joy. And that joy is evident because of who she celebrates in her life. That joy is gonna come. And then my third thought is refocus weekly. Refocus weekly. Church is a time we just keep coming together, right, to refocus. Biblically, they had the Sabbath, this one day a week in the Old Testament where you would rest. And sometimes we get that messed up today. We think, well, you should just like rest, chill, go do what you want. The Sabbath was more than that. It was a time to refocus spiritually. It was a time once a week in a rhythm to celebrate God, to remember all that God had done in your life, to remember who that God was in your life. Some of us right now, we don't have joy because it's been a long time since we celebrated personally who God is and what he did in our lives. Sometimes we don't have joy because it's been a long time since we celebrated and elevated in our own hearts what God did for us again in Jesus Christ. And those simple adjustments in our lives, to pause intentionally, to express gratitude and worship and verbally to God, and to refocus weekly can start to fill our lives with joy again. There is so much to celebrate. Look, we know God cares, Paul will go on to say this, because he gave his Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. He hears your prayers. He's moved by your struggles. He's with you today, tomorrow, and every day. You're never going to face a struggle alone, and he's working on your behalf. No power formed against you will prevail. Listen, your future is in his hands. He will send his strength when you need it. He will protect you. He'll guide you at just the right time. He'll bless you with what you need. You don't have to worry about what matters. You don't have to worry about what's coming. You don't have to doubt your salvation. You don't have to fear what others say or do, because God himself will be your defender. He's going ahead of you. He's going behind you. He's walking around you. He will open doors that need to be opened. He'll close doors that need to be shut. He will frustrate the plans of the wicked. He will lead your family. He will mourn with you, laugh with you, cheer with you. He'll fight for you. He will be with you. And why? We could be sure of it, Paul says, because he sent his son Jesus to make us right with him, and he sent his Spirit into our hearts to remind us of his love. Celebrate it. It's been a hard year. We've all probably lost track of that at some points this last year. I certainly had. But I want you to know the last several weeks, what has reignited joy in my life is just coming back to these simple thoughts of how good the good news is, and then pausing every day. I've even watched the sunset a couple times and just reflected and given thanks and paused. And it's frankly like been at least a year, I want to say years, since I stopped long enough to watch a sunset. Come on, who's got time for that? We're all busy making a difference. Or are we? It was so good for my soul. And I just want to encourage you, make some time, because it'll be so good for your soul. God loves you. He loves you. He went through all this for you. What? He's got your back. And that can fill you with so much joy. Celebrate peace with God and the blessing of God, and celebrate the hope that we have in God. What you celebrate, ultimately, what gets celebrated gets elevated. What gets elevated gets influence in our lives. Celebrate the good news and let it fill you with joy. Maybe you're here today and maybe you've never crossed the line of faith. I'd love to give you an opportunity. We've seen it in Romans 5. God has already done the work to make it right with you. And through a simple act of faith, trusting that what God has done in Jesus Christ for you on your behalf was enough, you can experience forgiveness, the gift of eternal life, the presence of God's Spirit. You get access into places spiritually you could never get on your own. So I want to ask all of you to bow your heads and close your eyes. If you'd like to become a follower of Jesus, you can make that commitment today by repeating a simple prayer after me. Just say, "Dear God, I thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending Jesus into the world. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe he rose again. Forgive me for my sins. Give me the gift of eternal life. Help me face the challenges that I'm up against. God, I surrender my life to you. In Christ's name." Friends, with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's your prayer today, if it's your commitment, I want to ask you to just slip your hand in the air. Just whatever location you may be watching from, if you're watching online, just slip your hand in the air and acknowledge you're going to trust Christ and follow him in your life today. Just reach out to him. God, I thank you for each individual reaching out to you. I pray you fill their life with your goodness, your joy, your love. We thank you so much for the opportunity to gather today to worship you and to remember all the good things that we have to celebrate. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.